Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's news with Post-Apocalyptic Media. I'm Derek, and this is Sean.
How you doing?
And Stephanie.
Hello.
We are going to be covering the weekly news every week. We're recording, we're publishing on Fridays, so if you want to subscribe to this podcast, then that's when you can expect new episodes. We write for postapocalypticmedia.com, and we keep track of what's going on in this genre, whether it be games, movies, TV shows, sometimes books, and everything in between, events. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, then definitely give us a subscribe. And oh, by the way, if you like what you hear, please leave a review. We're brand new. We're a baby. We'd like to hear back for at least some feedback. If you don't like it, you know what? The system is set up to where you can also voice your opinion. And who am I to say you don't have the right to do that? So let us know. But apparently Apple Podcast is the one that matters a lot the most. I don't know. This is what people tell me. I don't know the truth of this. So anyways, enough pontificating about podcast and SEO. That's not what this is about. This is about Post-Apocalyptic Media, and there has been a lot going on in the last week. We each have something important that we kind of pick out to discuss, sometimes multiple things, but I'm just going to go ahead and drop something here at the top because it is a short and sweet bit of news, and that is, if you thought you knew what was going on with Resident Evil, you don't. You don't if you just listen to this show. We covered that there is a Resident Evil TV series in production currently. Very excited about that. But that is not all of the news that is coming out about Resident Evil. And I'm not talking about game news. There is also a movie in the works.
Didn't they do that already?
That's
Surprise!
Right. Another movie. How many movies? Take a wild guess, guys. How many Resident Evil movies are there at this moment?
Seven?
I was going to guess six.
If I'd have prepared, I would know the answer. I think the answer is six, but I'm not positive about it. You know what? It could be seven at this point. There was the battleship one. They kind of started to blend in together there at the end. Yeah. Not that I didn't enjoy them. I enjoyed most of them. The battleship one just didn't do it for me. But all the rest I enjoyed for different reasons. There is a new movie coming out, and it is not like the others. So I think if you're a game fan, you may like this storyline a little bit more than the way that the other series developed. So that's the word from my Resident Evil friends. They have great casting. Steph, you have a comment?
Nope. Just think it's exciting.
So yeah, a lot of the cast, you're going to recognize them. They're rebooting it. They're starting over. Is my understanding. Is that your understanding as well, Sean?
Yeah, I think that I don't know if they're where they're going exactly. I haven't read about the plot as far as in relation to the other ones. Is that something? Is it like a prequel or before after?
I feel like I want to say maybe origin, but I don't know for certain.
Oh, so you're saying that this movie is canon? I had maybe misunderstood and thought that they were rebooting. Like,
oh, the whole. Oh, okay.
Oh.
But you know, Stephanie, you posted that link.
I did, and now let's see. I mean, people were really excited about the cast. But yeah, there's been so much news.
All right,
it's like I can't even keep up.
In related news, actually, mostly unrelated, the Oculus 2 just came out. The Oculus Quest 2. That is the VR rig that you can use without a PC, and ours is arriving tomorrow.
So. Oh, nice.
Whoa, really? Hope I have some cool apocalyptic stuff to play in VR during an apocalyptic real-life world. That would be fun.
Yeah, well, if you're in the neighborhood, you can come to our house and maybe get it on the porch before we find it.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks.
But one lucky listener, this is just one more reason to listen to the Post-Apocalyptic Media podcast.
I know you, and I would bet you have a porch camera, so I think they'd get caught.
For years, I had a battery-powered fake porch camera.
Oh,
that would see motion and start blinking and moving around, and it was all a farce. you know, there was no bite behind that bark. Okay, Steph, did you confirm anything, Steph?
On the... Yes, it's an origin story reboot.
Reboot. I knew the R word was used.
Yes, reboot was used. Origin story. They've cast almost all of the major leads, and people are really excited about the cast. So, who knew? I mean, I knew about the TV show, but didn't know about this until I heard about the cast.
Give me two cast members that people will recognize.
I mean, I don't know who people are going to recognize.
Tom Hopper from Umbrella Academy, the big dude.
Yes.
Oh, that, I forgot. Yeah, that's a big get.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a. I butcher people's names when I try to pronounce them. But Avan Jogia from Zombieland Double Tap. Kaya Scodelario from Maze Runner. Everyone can make fun of me for getting all of these names wrong. Robbie Arnell from Upload. Neil McDonough from Yellowstone. Sorry, everyone, for butchering your names.
Wait, Neil McDonough, was he in Altered Carbon?
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yes.
In
Band of Brothers, of course.
Yeah, Band of Brothers. He's in one of my favorite movies, Dancer in the Dark. He played a cop. That was a long time ago. It was probably 25 years ago. But yeah, Band of Brothers, he was great in that.
He killed it.
He was really good.
All right, so something to check out for everybody if you're a big Resident Evil fan. And moving right along, Sean, what's your topic this week?
My topic is, it concerns the things that I'm writing that are not on the site yet. I have two big things I'm working on right now. And one of them is it's kind of a top list of iOS games, mobile games. And I play a lot on my iPad, and, you know, I don't have an iPhone, but the iPad, you know, pretty much same thing. And I've just been downloading a lot of these free ones, and they're all post-apocalyptic. And I figured, you know, it'd be cool to kind of put together a list. So I started with the ones I already played, and I figured I'm going to do a top 10. Well, then, then I started, you know, doing a little more research, and I started finding other ones that I hadn't played yet. And I said, I'm going to make this a top 20. And then Derek's like, well, don't forget about these. And I'm like, oh, I forgot about those. So now it's going to be a top 25. I'm cutting it off. Top 25. It's going to be, that's it. The ones toward the bottom of the list, you know, it's funny because I cut a lot out. I would say there's probably 50-ish post-apocalyptic or survival games on the iOS store.
Wow.
A lot of those, well, not a lot. A couple of those are not worth downloading. You know, I tried them out. I tried out all the free ones, and then I tried out a couple of the 99-cent ones. There's only one that I paid for that was $7.99, which is insane for me to do that for an iOS game. I mean, I'll buy a PC game for
$60. $7.99?
Yeah. Yeah, $7.99 what? For an iOS game.
Okay.
But it's based on a PC game. It's called Atom RPG. And that's the only reason I got it, because I've played it.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about Atom RPG.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good game. It's that one that we were talking about from Russia. And it's very Fallout 1, Fallout 2, you know. So yeah. I downloaded that one. It's a good alternative, you know, like a mobile alternative to the PC game. So it's kind of cool. But so, yeah, I'm still writing that up, and it's going to be... I might surprise people with I think my top few, because there are some gems out there that I think a lot of people haven't really found.
Well, first of all, you're telling me I can pull out my telephone and have a Fallout 1, Fallout 2 type experience wherever I am?
Yeah. I mean, well, not only the fact that there's, you know, Fallout Shelter, which is one of the games you reminded me of, and I was like, oh yeah, I'd love that game. I mean, I played the heck out of that game. I actually had that on an old iPhone to where it didn't even work anymore. I think it was an iPhone 4. No, I think it was a 6. Like when it first came out, my phone couldn't handle it. And I actually upgraded my phone to play Fallout Shelter when it came out.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, but I really like that game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one.
But yeah, a couple of the other ones like Atom RPG, there's actually, I think one or two others that are very similar to Fallout as well. Yeah. I mean, the technological advancement is pretty impressive now for little mobile games.
Yeah, yeah. I've played like Age of Empires on mobile, yeah. and it plays just like the original. It's amazing. I'm gonna definitely have to check out that list. Now, speaking of Fallout Shelter, I played a lot of that too, And I'm just curious, did you ever try, there's like the, what is it, hardcore mode or survival mode? It's the hardest mode you can do. Do you ever try that?
Yeah. I think when I played it, now I haven't played it in a while, but I remember they had that update and I started playing it with the hardcore mode. Was that, does that have to do with like food and drink, or how does that work?
I don't know what all it affected, but you basically like, man, it was intense. Rad roaches would kill your people really quickly. Raiders would come and kill some people.
Yeah.
It was just very, very hard to survive. Because I played the junk out of that game. I maxed out everything, started over with a new survival thing, and I knew what I was doing. So like, we had a second generation. I named them all personally. You know, I was very attached, and then Raiders attacked and killed like two kids, you know, two people that I'd known and I'd fostered them. And, you know, then rad roaches appeared and then Raiders came again. And what I was left with was just like holding the dead bodies of all of my vault mates that I had raised, and I like rage quit the game. I don't think I've come back to it since.
Oh, you've been emotionally scarred by Fallout Shelter.
Wow. It's a harrowing experience, that game.
And that is pretty much why it's going to be top on my list, I think. I think it's a pretty good game. But like I said, I haven't played it for a few, maybe 2 years, I think. Maybe not even that long. So I need to jump back into it before I do this this write-up to see. I'll have to go What's get new? My iPhone 4 and break it out.
iPhone 4, wow.
Yeah. But the other thing, the other topic I'm doing is one I'm very excited about. So let me tell you the whole story about it. So get ready. Okay. So there's a guy who's a survivalist. His name is Michael Hawk. It's M-Y-K-E-L, Hawk. And he, I didn't recognize the name at first. He contacted me on Facebook. And after I wrote that article about top survival TV shows for the site. Mm-hmm. So he came back and he said, hey, if you want to check out a good reality survival show that doesn't have a lot of fluff, we did an episode of Man, Woman, Wild where we were in a like an urban environment and it was very post-apocalyptic. And I was like, oh, I love that show, Man, Woman, Wild. That's cool. But I never saw, I think there were two seasons and I think we only saw the first season, my wife and I. So I didn't really think much about it. I'm like, okay, person who's contacting me about this, that sounds great. Well, then I looked the guy's name, you know, I looked his name up and it was the guy who starred in Man, Woman, Wild. It was the man of Man, Woman, Wild.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to contact this guy and see if he wants to do an interview. So I messaged him back on Facebook and I said, yeah, I will definitely check out that show you recommended. I'm already a fan, but you know, I'll check out that episode. Meanwhile, do you want to do an interview? And he was like, yeah, sure. You know, let's chat sometime. So I sat down, I did some more research on him and other shows he's done. I can't even begin to tell you everything this guy's done. He's a military veteran. I think he was a captain when he retired. He's about 10 years older than me. And so he's, you know, kind of my generation, and he's done so much. I can't even explain really everything he's done, but you know, he's done so many shows. His IMDb said he was in like 50, he's been in 50 shows, but that's not only starring in them, but helping out with survival advice and things like that.
Wow.
You know, that show Daybreak on Netflix, he gave them survival advice for that show. He was hired on as an advisor. Hmm. And then he has his own reality shows. He not only Man, Woman, Wild, he has a bunch of other ones that are, I can't think of them off the top of my head, but there's a One Man Survival, I think is one that he did. You know, it's amazing how many things he's done, but he's a veteran of Afghanistan and according to his wiki page, it says he knows 7 languages and he not only does he know them, he tested out of them in the army, you know, so he's like a master at 7 languages.
Dang.
And he wrote books and books that and books impressive. About survival, about languages. I mean, he wrote a book about how to learn languages quickly. The guy's just a genius. Hmm. So I was excited to get to, you know, be able to sit down with him and chat. And so we did an interview. I recorded all the, I wrote down all the answers and I'm going to write that up as an article, and it's going to focus mostly on him, I think, because I find him so fascinating. Maybe I have a little man crush, I admit, but but so, and you know, the fact that all this stuff, I feel like when I talk, you know, when I'm doing this interview, it's like I can't say enough about him, you know, in this. So I'm going to write a little bit about him, tell a little bit about what he's been into, his projects, the movies and shows that he's helped with, you know, that he's advised. And then I ask him some questions and he'll answer those questions. So you can look for that on the site. It might be up before this podcast comes out. But
oh, that nice. Sounds like a great article and a really interesting interview. It's going to be good. It's going to be really good.
Yeah. It's amazing just talking to him. It's just, I'm a little starstruck. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that. That's, you know, it's we are definitely a community that is interested in survival,
yeah,
and getting through. Here's a little tip that I picked up from a TV show recently. When in the apocalypse, you want to carry a bottle of alcohol, but in the bottle isn't alcohol, it's poison. And you know, you can label it not poison, you know, whatever you want to do.
Totally not poison.
The idea is that if a crazy person robs you, then the first thing they're going to want to do is to down your alcohol.
Hmm.
Bing, bada bing, bada boom. They just drink poison and you win.
Wow.
Unless they killed you first. And then you kind of win, but not.
You at least get the last
get your revenge. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure this survival is going to be a lot more practical than that. There's a lot more situations than just getting robbed by raiders that we should be preparing for. More likely.
That actually played into the interview too. You know, he's a real deal survivalist. I mean, this guy was in the military for all his life, and so I asked him like with Daybreak. You know, he gave these guys advice on how to survive like a zombie apocalypse, and I kind of asked him, you know, is that a silly thing? Like, how do you feel about that when you're the real deal dude and you're telling Matthew Broderick how to, you know, survive zombies? And he was like, yeah, I love zombie stuff, you know, and he told me all about kind of his favorite zombie movies and everything too. So he's a really down-to-earth guy, really great.
Hmm. Oh, that's
so neat. All right, Steph, what's your topic this week?
Well, my topic this week is the incredibly inspiring topic of the latest updates on COVID-19.
Woo! Facebook fact checkers, we need you here.
I know, this is probably going to get our podcast banned. Anyway, I had a different idea, but Derek stole it and it is his idea.
Before you go any further, let me intro this just a little bit, because it is one of them topics that you've got to intro, and you've got to know where your info is coming from. So, I know Stephanie is a little humble. She's not going to toot her own horn as much as I would. So, you should know about Stephanie. Stephanie is, she passed the bar exam. She became a lawyer. Our legal, qualifications are in limbo right now. We're not practicing attorneys. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, not at the moment.
But in addition to going to law school, Stephanie went to school for other things. She got an undergraduate degree in journalism, top of her class at Texas A&M. And
I don't talk about it.
And subsequently, actually before law school, she got her master's degree in science journalism. So specializing in technology, biology, those kind of topics, I would say. Is that accurate, Stephanie?
It's a master of science and technology journalism. So I'd say that's all accurate.
Okay. So subsequently, Stephanie has been working as a leading reporter for one of the internet's most traffic news sites, heavy.com, where she has covered COVID really from the start of this whole thing.
Since January.
And kept her
covering COVID.
Since January, okay. And has been keeping her finger on the pulse. You know, naturally there's some value judgments when it comes to risk reward. And those are up to each of us to understand and to evaluate. So, not going to say anybody's opinion on that is valid or invalid.
Yeah, we don't really get into that. into the political weeds. Avoid that here.
Good choice.
But right. Yeah, I've been. Oh, sorry. Go on.
So to finish the intro, you can at least trust we are a factual based. You got to be if you're in news, and so that's how we're going to keep it. Facebook fact checkers.
Yes. Ooh. So, as Derek said, I've been covering this since January. Back when a lot of people didn't even really realize it was on the radar. I was watching the news about it when it was just in China, or so we thought. And it was starting to break out. And I mean, you know, some of y'all who are following it from back then remember those videos of people who are like passing out in the streets and stuff. And everybody was wondering if it was real. And yeah, I mean, I was freaking out back then. And so I was like, is this going to be like the zombie apocalypse for real? Because back then we weren't really sure what it was going to be. And it could have ended up being anything. And just as a side note, some of y'all who are listening to this know what I'm talking about those videos of people who are passing out in the streets in China. And my theory is we learned later that when you're with COVID, when your oxygen levels get really low, you can still think you're fine. And they call it happy hypoxia.
All right. What is happy hypoxia?
Happy hypoxia is this... this weird thing that doctors have noticed with COVID-19, I don't know if other respiratory diseases might sometimes have this, but I think it's pretty rare. Basically, it's where you your blood oxygen level is low, but you don't realize it, and you feel like you're fine until you aren't. But it's not like other illnesses where your blood oxygen level gets low, and you realize it, and you start getting worse and worse and worse. There's some cases, I don't know if it's every time, where they think they're fine. And so I really think that that's what was going on with those people passing out in the streets and those China videos that a lot of people thought were fake back then. I think it's just that we didn't know much about the virus at the time. And those were people who probably were trying to walk to the hospital or just felt like they weren't that bad. And then they were passing out. So that, all that just to say that I've been following this for a long time. So every now and then, you know, for the podcast, not every week, but every now and then I'll drop in with some coronavirus COVID-19 updates.
Some lighthearted banter.
Yeah, lighthearted banter. Just because, you know, we're sort of in a pre-apocalyptic world. It feels like very dystopian right now. And it's good to, you know, talk about that every now and then. So for heavy, I've been doing these COVID-19 updates periodically since February. So there's just one article and I'm updating it sometimes every day. Sometimes I give it a few days break. And I've been doing that for a while. I just updated it again today. And just two interesting things worth noting. One is that you may have heard or are hearing now that Johnson & Johnson has paused its COVID-19 vaccine trials. Possible that by the time you hear this podcast, they will be unpaused. I don't know. But it's worth noting that that does not necessarily mean that the vaccine is going to be bad. I know it's very easy in 2020 to immediately think the worst, as I often do, because sometimes the worst happens this year. But
2020? No.
I know, crazy, right? But in this situation, it could, it's really just showing that they're being very, very safe. You know, it's one person who had an illness. They haven't disclosed many details about it yet.
One person? Shut down the whole thing, huh?
Yeah, because they don't know what the cause of the illness was, and they haven't released many details about it. But
Edgar
yeah,
was like the first person, like injecting acid.
Well, they said that it was like an unexplained illness or something.
Yeah,
like
that's all they said.
Or something.
I mean, it could be that they're a zombie now. You
yeah,
know, I mean,
yeah.
And they're just like shut it down.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was just that they, you know, got sick from something else, food poisoning or something, I don't know, and that's what's going to, and they're going to resume the vaccine trials, or they could be a zombie, it's 2020. Anything is possible. So anyway,
the entire drug is just bath salts. And like, let's try bath salts and see if that works.
Oh my gosh, bath salts. Yeah, we had some crazy stories of people sounding like they were literally turning into zombies in 2019 from bath salts. So that was
2019?
I think so.
Feels like 8 years ago.
I mean, I think it was 2019. I could be wrong, though.
There was that guy, I think he's in Miami, where he was on bath salts and he ate a guy's face off or something. That was a couple years ago. I remember that one, yeah.
That was insane. That was the dude who, like, he had just been having, like, dinner with his family. And he left early and was walking home and like went crazy from bath salts and ended up eating someone's face. So that was special.
Yeah.
Went out for a little dessert.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, all that to say that the vaccine trials, it just means they're being super safe. So, you know, don't go full zombie in your concerns yet, guys.
Okay.
Then the other thing, which I don't know what to make of it, we'll find out more soon, is a new Lancet Journal study published.
Do we trust Lancet?
Yes.
Okay.
Peer reviewed. They reported that I'm like losing my train of thought here, but they reported that a 25-year-old in Nevada is a confirmed case of reinfection for coronavirus. There's actually a few others in the U.S. I think even in that study, there may have been a 60-year-old. There are a few other cases in the U.S. that, you know, they haven't been like in peer-reviewed studies confirmed. But this is a 25-year-old, no known health problems or immune deficits. And he first got it in April. Then he tested negative twice in May after recovering, then developed symptoms again May 28th, and tested positive on June 5th. And they confirmed through studying both strains that these were two different strains and not the same strain having gone dormant and coming back. So in his case, it was worse the second time, and he had to be hospitalized. There are about 23 cases worldwide, including some in the U.S. of possible reinfections. Now, take in mind, that's out of like 37 million worldwide cases, you know, so it's a small number. But there are some cases of reinfection. Not all of them are worse. I know that some of this is going around that if you get reinfected, it's definitely worse. But some of these reinfections were not worse. So that's worth noting. One woman in the Netherlands who was fighting a very rare cancer, and she was 89, died after her second reinfection. But that is not the case every time. So
she was 89 and she got reinfected again.
She got it twice. Yeah. Wow. It's so sad, right? She was fighting a rare cancer. So, I mean, they didn't say where she caught it, but I'm going to guess probably going to the hospital for treatments, right? Sad. But yeah, so that, it was interesting. I read this Reddit article, this Reddit discussion about that news, and there were a bunch of people in there who were saying, oh yeah, my mom caught it twice, you know, she tested positive early and then positive again later, and, you know, do you trust anonymous people on Reddit? I don't know. You decide for yourself.
Only with my medical decisions.
Yeah,
your degrees mean nothing compared to the Reddit people.
Yeah, you can't compare to 10,000 upvotes. That's a lot of karma. Go with the karma.
So that's like the new thing to watch for. You know, like I've heard some people say that it may not affect the vaccines, especially the vaccines that are focusing on the spike in the virus, because that's present in all the strains. So this doesn't necessarily mean that a vaccine isn't going to work, but it's just worth kind of keeping an eye on. Like, some people are wondering if, you know, there's a new strain that's very similar out now that's more contagious than the one in the early months. And so are the people who caught it in the early months going to get sick twice because of the new strain?
Okay,
there's a lot to learn.
Let me ask you, this 25-year-old that got reinfected,
yeah.
Why, remind me again, why is this unique Why is this different from the other people that supposedly did?
It was just confirmed in a peer-reviewed article in a medical journal.
Got it. In a medical journal that Bill Gates owns.
No.
Was it Dr. Bill Gates who initially diagnosed?
Gil Bates is his name.
No, it is a peer-reviewed journal.
Have to ask.
It has been confirmed. So, yes, it's worth noting there's been about 23 cases out of, like I said earlier, 37 million cases that we know of or more worldwide. So it's a very, very tiny chance at this point. You know, but just something worth keeping an eye on. My happy updates for our podcast.
34 million. Wow.
That is
a big conspiracy.
Like yeah, 38
I'm
million.
I'm kidding, YouTube.
Cases.
Oh my gosh. They're going to hear the word conspiracy and just be like.
It is not a conspiracy. 38 million cases global, almost 8 million in the U.S. You know, there's a lot of asymptomatic cases, so it's probably a lot higher than that in reality.
All right. So, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Getting us, Sean, do you have anything to add before we move on?
No, you know, it's such dangerous ground talking about this. And it's kind of sad that it is. It's just so, it's been politicized to death. And I share thoughts with both sides, I think. So I'm not, 100% on, either side. So,
yeah, that's totally. The most dangerous place to be, really, is to be an open-minded, nuanced person, because then you don't have a gang at your back,
Well, I can definitely relate to that. I mean, I have to report objectively and share both sides of things, which also means, I'll get a lot of hate mail from both sides too. And that's always fun.
All right. I can hear people clicking unsubscribe from here.
Oh no.
So before we lose any more of our post-apocalyptic
we're not
fans,
really talking. Yeah. I'm not talking about COVID frequently, guys. This is just every now and then. So if you don't like it, just know it's not going to be a weekly thing.
Yeah. And we'll, I'm just going to leave it right there. And we're going to move on to our third and final topic, which is going to be real short. It's
and
just
fun.
It's going to be an experience report. Now, that's something I want to introduce here because we've been to some fun zombie related end of the world stuff. You know, Sean's told us a little bit about his time at Dragon Con and some other things. Stephanie and I have gone to a paintball event where we shot paintballs at people who acted like zombies from the back of a truck that was driving around a field. That was fun. We shot pellets at people who were acting like zombies in a warehouse in Austin. That was fun. But that's not what this is about. This is a report of a battle royale laser tag experience that Stephanie and I had this last Friday. In what I think is one of its kind. I don't know that for sure, but I couldn't find anything like it. I play a lot of battle royales. I've played, all of the main ones. You think of it, I've probably played it, if you've played it, unless it's obscure. And that's just a really fun thing for me to do. And in every instance, I pretend that I'm Katniss from the Hunger Games. That is always the plot of a battle royale if I'm the one playing it, is, just got to survive to the end, make it, and then I get to be a tribute or whatever. No, you are the tribute. What do they call them if they're the winners? It's been a long time since I read Hunger Games. Did y'all read Hunger Games?
No.
Yes. I do not remember, though.
Okay. All right. Well, so anyways, we went and did this. They have these, you put on these sensors on your head and there's sensors on your gun. And that's where people have to shoot to kill you. And then there was these little boxes all over the field and you can go and treat them like loot boxes, in a battle royale. Half of the fun of a battle royale is just shopping. You're like, you ever watch those shows? When I was a little kid, before I ever bought groceries or had any thought of buying groceries, I watched a show where people went and grabbed groceries for their shopping cart and got them for free. And that was entertaining to me just because it's like free stuff.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
There was also a video game show where you like put video games on your Velcro shirt or something. And that always thrilled me. So anyways, Battle Royale's like that. You start out the game, you run around, you just like, there's guns everywhere and equipment, and you're just like loading up. So that's what this did, kind of. And so it's a mixed review, I'd say, on this Battle Royale experience. It's on the outskirts of Austin. It's called Battleground Ranch. And it's brand new. We actually went on opening day trying to support some local businesses, especially in 2020. That's really important, by the way. Order out, guys, and support your local businesses. But we went out there, and the first thing that became really apparent is that I am not in the kind of shape that Katniss Everdeen is.
Me neither.
So, you know, golly, the game starts and you do a little bit of running, and then, you know, and then it's like, oh my God, I just spent my one sprint for the whole game, you know, on getting to the, you know, getting to cover. So Stephanie and I, we were really tired, and running slowly is not a good recipe for success when you need to get to cover. We didn't win. Neither of us won. But I think I killed a lot of people by sneaking up on them and shooting them in the back, basically, is the only way that I got any kills. But it was fun. It was outdoors. It was kind of small. It was like 4 acres-ish?
Yeah, 4 to 5 acres.
Okay.
Not bad. So, it was pretty nice sized, you know.
Yeah, we had like 10 people out there. And the equipment was fun. I found a loot box finally, and I got a grenade launcher out of it. And it basically, you have this gun that's programmable. The gun itself knows which gun it is, I guess you could say. So you pick up a grenade launcher and your gun like adds those stats to how it works. So all of a sudden I lost a lot of range from my gun when I went to my grenade launcher, but the damage went way up. These guns are so advanced that they have, you know, they have a little scope on them. And there's a dot in the middle of the scope that, you know, of course, shows you where you're aiming. When you're shooting, in order to simulate recoil, because a real weapon's going to bump you and you're going to get off your target, unless you're Superman, really good at staying on target, they simulate that by making the reticle disappear on your gun for a second or 2 seconds sometimes, depending on what kind of gun you're wielding. So there was some really cool aspects to this game. But my overall review, you know, the loot boxes stayed in one spot. And I think that was my biggest frustration with this game type, is that everybody went to a loot box at the very beginning, you know? And if you didn't, then you were really screwed, because everybody else had better weapons and health packs and all sorts of stuff that was coming out of these loot boxes. So what I think they need to do is they need to like take these the loot boxes and put them on RC cars or something and have them drive around the battlefield randomly.
That's a great matches. Idea. Yeah. They also had the guns were equipped to let you know, like, because like a battle royale, it shrinks and, you know, people get shot and then there's a small number of people at the end, but the gun lets you know if you're out of range. So that was cool. It yells it, so other people kind of get an idea of where you might be. But yeah, it'll say out of range. And so that was kind of cool. And you try to run in and figure out how to get back into range. And it'll tell you if you're out of ammo, which happened to me a couple times. I really liked it. You know, I'm one of those people who's more into social distancing right now. And I thought this was a great, like, if you're a cautious person like that, this is great, in my opinion, because it's outdoors. You've got, you know, in our group, we had like 8 people in this 5-acre area. It was great. So really fun thing to do in a 2020 world. And, you know, I took out Derek once. I just feel like that's very important to say. That Derek had a rocket launcher weapon and I was hiding because I am not, I also learned I'm in bad shape. So I started finding a space to hide in each game. And the first time, my first hiding space, Derek found me and was trying to get a rocket launcher at me. And I managed to take him out before he could take me out. Of course, he got me back.
Yes, you had better range.
He got me back in the next round because he knows me and he knew I was hiding in the same space.
Because you're such a camper. Just camped in that one spot.
The same place again. And he found me and took me out. So, you know.
Yeah, it was a good workout. We're going to go back, I think. We're going to try to do it more so that we can get to where we can sprint twice instead of sprinting once.
Just once.
And see where we can go from there. So, you know, to be fair, you know, that can be on uneven ground. It can wear you out. And we were by far the oldest people there. I don't think anybody else was over 25. And one of the guys got so worn out that he threw up repeatedly on the walk back to the base. So,
wow.
Yeah, very dehydrated.
It's good training, you know, if you're out of shape like us. I think, you know, it's going to be motivating. I was out. I did a run today. It wasn't an impressive run, but it was a run I wouldn't have done if I didn't think I need to speed up so that I can shoot people with those
yep.
You know, lasers. So yeah, if you're ever out in the Austin area, Battleground Ranch, I think is the name. It might be Battlefield Ranch.
I think it's Battleground.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Tell them Post-Apocalyptic Media sent you and they'll be like,
who are they?
What's that?
It's not the guy who threw up. Well, I remember when I was younger, we used to play laser tag, and I don't imagine it was probably the same equipment. We had the guns with the wire connected to the big battery backpack. I imagine you probably didn't have that.
This was just a gun connected to a sensor. We didn't have to have a big backpack. So.
Everything was in the gun. Bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
At one point, my gun started making a noise, and I looked at it, and there was like a computer fan on the side of the gun, and it had whirred up.
That's funny.
To cool it down.
By the way, it is called Battleground Ranch. I just looked it up. So, oh, and the cool thing, too, you have sensors that you wear with headbands, and they give you a brand new headband. You're not, like, using someone else's germy headband. I mean, they're very big on health. They're very health conscious. They sanitize the guns between each game. I mean, it's really cool.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. I want to thank you all for joining us, and please... like, subscribe, comment. Hey, your comments are really important to us. We're going to read them, and it could also really help us to gain exposure. So if you are predisposed at all to making a comment about this show, please feel free to do that. And from us at Post-Apocalyptic Media, thanks. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.